Rolling.
All right, let's call the meeting to order. Roll call.
Murphy?
Here.
Buffo? Morris?
Here.
Perry?
Here.
Ping?
Here.
Stuber?
Here.
Trelaw?
Here.
All right, let's put it in.
This is the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we welcome you to remain standing as we pray. Father, we just thank you for the wisdom to conduct the business of Tolono in a judicious and fair and equal way. Lord, we don't take our jobs lightly, and we just thank you for your wisdom to help us do it right. In Jesus' name, thank you. Amen.
Public comments. Do we have anybody? No. Okay, cool.
No.
All right. Reports, engineers.
Guess you're here.
That was quick. We're moving quick.
We don't mess around.
Yeah. Sometimes. Really, all I got to talk about tonight is the Safe Routes to School program that we've kind of been talking about pursuing to do some sidewalk improvements. I've got a few copies. I think I got 6 copies total if you guys want to look. This was just kind of our first go-around based on discussions with Matt. And then we've talked to the school as well today just to get their input, and it may change. Basically, this routing is what was proposed for the time being, to try to maximize our benefit from the grant. The grant basically will fund $200,000 of construction and construction engineering services. And I think the budget for this right now is about $225,000 with everything that's shown there. It's approximately 4,000 feet of 5-foot wide sidewalk. The width can vary smaller or larger, and the length would obviously vary as well. I've got to get some clarification back from IDOT. I tried to get a hold of the guy at the end of the day after talking to Matt on my way over here. Whether you guys could apply for this with the school district as a supporting entity, and the school district could apply for it without, basically as a separate, for the work to be done on their site, which I don't have clarification on that. I have read somewhere where basically one school district can apply for the funds per cycle, but I don't know, since you guys would be the sponsor in this one, if they could sponsor the other one and basically get a dual benefit there. I don't know if that's a thing or not yet. If not, it may be something where we work with them, the school district, and you guys to try to fine-tune the routing that we're going to be able to get done with the funding we want to spend here. The only thing this does not cover is basically our preliminary engineering services, the application, time to get it submitted. Typically, they're going to require what they call a preliminary environmental site assessment, which in most cases with the sidewalk, it's kind of silly, and it may get waived, but based on discussions with IDOT, they're requiring them on a lot of these, which is an additional cost, and they don't cover design cost for this stuff. So basically, they want you to front the money for all that stuff. And the other side of it is, if you do that and they award it to you, you can get up to $200,000 of grant funding with no required match, essentially. And what it is basically a reimbursement thing where you would spend it and then request money from them, and they would reimburse you for the construction costs, is my understanding of this. And that's where we're at right now. Basically, what I brought tonight is just a draft of a proposal to complete the preliminary engineering, the PISA, which is the preliminary environmental site assessment, and the design engineering if you guys want to move forward. And it's very general right now. It just says basically this is to design 20,000 square feet of sidewalk, which is basically what we've got here, which is kind of within those budgets. I think the total cost is looking at for everything right now is like $260,000. If you got the grant for everything, you guys would have $60,000 to spend on this, which can be pared down. It will depend on bid cost. So we want to make sure that whatever we go after enough. So that's where we're at right now. The next step, if we decide to move forward, is probably meeting more with you guys in the school district to try to get this fine-tuned to get an exact routing. I know Rocket Road has been expressed by the school district as being a priority to them. The mayor said the same. and then just working to see exactly if they can apply for their side, you guys can apply for your side and get dual credit here, then that'd be awesome. I don't know if that's feasible or not. If not, it may be something where some of the in-town stuff is given up for some of the school district property sidewalk. But in talks with the director that over there, he didn't seem adverse to spending some money on this stuff, but we didn't have a discussion saying, oh, is this, if we do some on your property and some on our property, how's the split for the stuff that's not covered by the grant then? But I think he seemed like he was interested and willing if it gets to that, so. That's basically where we're at.
And the idea, one of the ideas we were tossing around, the Rocket Road one, is bring the sidewalk on the north side of the road. It'd be easier on easements, but the problem is once you get to the school, you have to cross Rocket Road. So, and then we could put the guardrail protecting the sidewalk along, kind of along part of that. Looking for ideas. Anybody's got ideas?
My suggestion would be keep them off of Rocket Road altogether.
I'm fine with that. And if we did the East Street, where they could come up on East Street, the problem is this one right here in Kinderwood, this is a sidewalk to nowhere, because they do not want a sidewalk over here, because this is the cross-country track. Kinderwood actually approached them and said, what about if we put a rubber part in there, so when they cross it, they cross the rubber part to the sidewalk. I don't think they really wanted that either, because they want their cross-country track that way. There was a thought of bringing it this way and connecting it to this, but students aren't going to do that. They're going to take the shortest route.
There is another option. One of those called the North Cul-de-Sac.
Maple?
Kinderwood.
Oh, Kinderwood, okay.
Basically, right here is if we rerouted it to that North Cul-de-Sac, and what Matt's saying is we may have an opportunity to come through here to get them up to Rocket Road, where it would just be...
At least avoiding the curve.
You'd avoid the curve.
Yeah.
We have a water main easement through there now. We'd have to see what that easement would allow us to do. There's existing sidewalks there, so, you know, that would help reduce the amount of sidewalk we'd have to put in. That would get them over to Allison, and then we'd just have a short stretch from Allison over to the front of the school. So.
Cool.
So right now, when I'm there picking up my kid, they all cut across the fields there. They're not going to go clear down to Rocket Road and come back.
I agree.
I mean, we can put all the sidewalk in we want there, and it's not going to be used.
Well, I'm just thinking.
What I'm thinking is we give this path here, and if the school doesn't want to cooperate to help give a path, then that's kind of on them. I think we do our part.
We just run it up to the edge of the property and see.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's there.
And I think I understand this right. Kinderwoods will have to put that sidewalk in because it's on their property.
They would either have to do it and own and maintain it, or they would just sell you a piece of property or sell you an easement on the property to own and maintain that ingress, egress.
But my thought is if we did all of this anyway, we would just find out how much that section costs and just bill Kinderwood for it. It'd be cheaper for everybody, I think, if we did it that way.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're against that because they've already thought about putting that sidewalk in. I mean, I haven't talked to them, so.
I was just wondering, right now they're going through the fields and everything like that, but in the wintertime they may not be.
They still go through.
Oh, they still go through. Yeah. All right, never mind.
Because it blows, the snow doesn't really drift. I mean, it blows the snow.
And I don't blame them. If it's 10 degrees, I'm not going to walk clear out to Rocket Road.
To get out.
Yeah. Go 100 yards and then walk clear back.
Now, we still have surveys to send out. The school has to send out a survey once we figure out the form and get it to them. And then the parents, we're going to fill those out. And I'm sure we're going to get the same feedback. Well, no, they cut through here. So, but that goes along with the grant.
Yeah, IDOT has, those are standardized. We have copies of those to give to the school, and basically just need to, as far as I know, they have no requirement on percentage that they need completed or returned, or number they need percent or returned. They just need to be done, and we need to have something there.
Okay.
They're pretty, I think they're like a one-page survey, maybe two.
Yeah, they were pretty short.
Pretty basic. The other thing that the school would need to basically write a letter of support for the project. The parent and student surveys, and then they have basically a walkability, bikeability study, I guess you'd call it. And I think that's kind of what they're trying to do here in the near future. They've got like a walk to school day or something where it's people encourage people to do this, and then they try to gain feedback from that to say, you know, what did you or didn't you like about your walk to school or your bike to school, or what could be improved, things like that. Just a real basic kind of another study to get try to gain input. Other than that, if between the village and us, we would get the application done and submitted. Deadline is November 19th. I built our contract that we would be done with our preliminary stuff by the 15th. The PISA may take longer than that. The final plans may take longer than that. But the idea is if and when we get the go-ahead, we're going to try as hard as we can to get to a point that we can at least submit preliminary plans and cost estimates. The further you're along in these things, the better your scoring is. So, and the less easements you have to get is a bonus, because they want you to basically have letters of commitment or easements basically kind of ready to go by this time too. But that's one thing with the Kinderwood, if they're putting it in and owning and maintaining it, you don't have an easement there. The school property, if any sidewalk goes on their property and they own and maintain it, you don't have an easement there. So anything you can do to mitigate right-of-way acquisition easement is going to be a benefit.
I wouldn't be surprised if we already have the easement for East Street too, because that was in the proposal originally to put in years and years ago. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing, in your travels through town, since you're here quite a bit now,
yeah,
give us an idea on that curve on Rocket Road, too.
Yeah, and we can look at that. You know, I mean, there's different things you can do. I mean, from rebuilding the curve so it can handle the high speeds, or doing various mitigation upstream of where they're flying into that. I mean, you can put rumble strips in.
Speed bumps.
You can do a lot of stuff, but. And you could do flashing signs.
So do we have a sharp curve ahead sign or anything like that we just throw up? And
there's a sign for the curve. I don't know.
There's actually three signs if you're heading west. There's a sign where our road starts, basically. And then there's the big arrow sign and a little arrow sign. And I noticed the other night when I turned off of First Street, with my brights on, I could see that yellow sign on the curb.
So that's what I thought.
I think there's plenty of markings. It's just they won't slow down.
You can set up like they got there in Urbana where they've got a little speed limit. It just tells you your thing and it flashes. I don't think you can take pictures or anything.
No, it just tells speed.
Yeah,
we have some
solar power.
Just makes people think a little bit. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of different options. Definitely, you know, I would say if you've got issues with cars going off the road already, you know, a guardrail or something in that vicinity would not be a bad idea.
Because they used to have a bunch of like wood bollards in and around there that tore out.
That too.
Bricks. And all kinds of stuff piled up there.
Yeah, and if you did a sidewalk there, you know, I would definitely recommend doing something that's, you know, not like breakaway type stuff. It's like, if you hit me, you're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
Whether that's a brick and mortar wall.
And I would mind, as soon as we're change the ordinance too, where this is 20 miles an hour through here, just whole like all the time, or even slower for that little section. Because if we put 20, they're going to go 25 through there to see if they can make it.
That's right.
Matt, can we see what a solar-powered flashing yellow sign would, with an arrow, would cost?
Yeah, I've looked at stop signs before. They're pushing $1,000.
Okay.
That is an eligible expense for this stuff, too.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to build it, and you've got a safe route that's around along that way, I would think that would be justified.
And I know U of I got their signs on a grant. They got our three. Well, actually, I think we're down to two now. Signs on a grant. And Urbana got theirs on a grant. I gave you some information just on the signs. There wasn't any. There's been a whole stack of stuff I gave you on the company that does the flashy sign things. So there's a. It should be coming up really soon. There's a chief's conference up in the Chicago suburbs that I want you to go to, too. It's free. It doesn't cost anything. It'll take you a couple hours. Oh, it's not in Chicago. It's way out in the suburbs. So
it's in Champaign.
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember, lumbar? I don't remember, but I'll send you the, when it comes out, I'll send you the information on it. And essentially, I just want you to walk through and talk to the sign people and stuff like that. There's a ton of just information. Right, anything else? Engineering?
I think the only thing I'll say is basically, we've just broken into three phases, which is the preliminary phase, the PISA, and then the design. Because if for some reason the PISA, if they say, no, you don't need that, we just won't do it. And everything's just time and material, since everything's kind of an open book right now. We don't have a defined scope. So that's how it's set up for now. Includes, right now, we've got a budget in there to do boundary survey for easements and stuff if we need to. But that would come out of there if we end up not needing boundary survey. So I got two copies of this if you guys want to look at it.
Okay.
Wants to read it.
Okay, perfect. Any other questions, guys? Cool. Thank you.
All right. I would say the one thing is, if we are going to act on this and we're going to try to apply to this year's cycle, we've got a month and a half to do that. So
short
notice. And if you guys do think you're going to do it, and just let us know as soon as possible. You know, I, with us and our relationship so far, if you guys give us a verbal, we're going to approve this at our next meeting. I think that's enough for us to get started on, so that we can start trying to crank it out.
Okay.
So.
Thank you.
Yep.
Any discussion on that at all? Alright. And part of the thought on that was too, even if we don't get the deadline, everything's done. So when that comes up the next year, we just submit as soon as it comes up.
Yeah. Just one question. The easement way here on the south side of Kinderwood. What generated that location? Is that just because it's at the end of the...
Where is that at exactly?
Right here, this little patch.
I think that's their outlet, and I believe at their HOA. I talked to those guys that came in from their HOA and kind of expressed concern, and I thought that's where they said the kids were cutting through. That's
okay.
The only reason that's there.
The only reason I'm saying that is because there's fence.
Around that whole thing.
Around this whole thing. And what the kids do, come out of school, walk down this sidewalk, and cut across.
And just cut wherever.
Yeah.
I understand.
Kids have worn a path right here, too.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's a path here. There's like, this is their dry retention pond.
Yep.
And they've worn a path right there. And Kinderwood, they approached the school about that.
Okay.
Already.
All right, I'm good with that.
Okay. All right. Matt.
I have several things this evening. First thing I had in the board packet was the sidewalk replacement.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of broke this down by square footage and then multiplied that out by their $7.50 per square foot. So we had a total of $16,395 plus the panels of the seven, and the total $17,091. I had $13,000 budgeted for an overage of $4,091. Well, I talked to Illinois American Water. I think they're going to replace the sidewalk in front of the ground storage tank, which was tore up several years ago. So that might knock out that $3,000. So that's going to put us pretty well right back in that budgeted amount. If you want me to hit that budgeted amount, I've got to go back through, and it wouldn't take much to figure out what to take out. But there are certain areas I don't want to remove, like around the churches, the funeral home, Tolono Manor. You know, some of those I think we need to keep. Some up in Deer Path. I know those sidewalks get used a lot. There by the dentist office, he's, you know, making that look better up through there. That sidewalk is terrible shape. So So, so I think if we do that, we're going to be right at $14,100-ish range. Like I said, that's, you know, a little over $1,000 over budget. But again, I think it's well worth the time to go ahead and do these areas. This has all the areas of the sidewalk we're talking about. Those areas are out. So that way we're not, you know, putting a 4-foot sidewalk in and next year we're taking it out and putting five foot sidewalk in. So, you know, we're not doubling up work here on this. So, that also helps with, how many ramps? 6 ramps, which would get the, they're called truncated domes, the little bumpy panels at those sidewalks, which would get us ADA compliant in those areas. So that's something else I'd like to do as we go around. Some of the newer subdivisions don't have those, but the sidewalks are in good enough shape for now. We should really start pressing to get sidewalks kind of compliant with ADA regulations. So.
Or the other thought on the sidewalk thing is roll this into the engineering costs from the other project, and then you're going to choke us.
If that's going for a grant, though.
Yeah, well, we're going to still have $60,000 worth that we're going to have to pay out of pocket around that, approximately. And this $14,000 would get them started on the project, on the engineering cost.
But then again, I don't know that we're going to be able to do all of that and all of this with that.
Well, I know. We just have to do a sidewalk budget for next year, too.
Yeah.
And put off the project again.
Yeah.
So.
Which ones are the worst?
All of them.
Yeah, our side, there's some really patchy.
I've kind of taken some out already.
I've seen some of them.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
There's.
The only reason I ask is I'd be interested in seeing what it would be if we did the older sidewalks first and the newer ones, which should have been in better condition, do those.
Some are not. There's, I've got, just off the top of my head, I know I've got 3 spots, Deer Path and Windstone. There's one. It's got a chunk out of the sidewalk that big. That deep. And that's a bigger subdivision. Other ones, they're cracked. Panels are tipped. You know, those are areas that I didn't have mud jack because there was no point.
Okay.
So, you know, I try to spend my money best I can out of my budgets,
mm-hmm.
you know,
and it's, the sidewalks are hard because, like I said, there's a lot of them. They're in just bad
yeah.
shape.
Yeah.
It's hard picking and choosing.
It is. And a lot of it's not, I mean, you're not doing 200 foot. I mean, it's
right. 17 feet here.
Right.
20
right.
feet here.
And it's the worst of the worst is what we're trying to get.
Right.
So.
Okay, I would say if we can get Illinois American Water to replace theirs, which was probably tore up when they were putting that tank in to begin with, and then come up with the other $1,000 and just get them to complete.
Yeah.
I mean, $1,000.
$1,000 isn't awful.
No.
For a project this large.
No. And it's more public areas that get. Actually, a lot more foot traffic, so
right.
to actually get them fixed is probably a good thing.
Yeah.
If we were saying sidewalk in my cul-de-sac and cut it out. We don't need that. But yeah, these are all.
Well, and it looks like American Water is going to fix theirs for that email.
Yes, I copied Rob on the
they're
email
gonna,
there. They're going to bump that to the top of their list to get done. So
he says he'll make sure it gets moved to the top of the restoration list. So.
So I make a motion to accept the
sidewalk
repair for $14,000. I'll give you $500. Does that work?
That would work.
Yeah,
I'll second that.
All right, roll call.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulo?
Yes.
I wouldn't think it'd be this hard to get prices cutting trees, but it's been a struggle. I just got this one as of this morning. That is my entire list of trees that I had to cut. So their price came at $11,125. I think I had $8,000 budgeted. These trees are ones we cannot do. These are too big, too dangerous, too close to houses. We do not feel comfortable doing these trees. There's a couple stumps in here that we need to cut down. One's over by Gady's house on North James. That's cutting that down. So but some of these trees they're huge ash trees. So the tree on the back, this is on a dead end alley. Apparently the homeowners have came in before wanting the alley vacated to them. Well, it didn't happen. So now the tree is ours. So we're gonna have to spend $1,000 to have that tree taken out. And it's gotta happen soon. It's splitting, it's gonna fall in a garage. Then again, liability's back on us even more.
And we're sure the tree itself is ours?
Pretty sure.
But are you 100% sure?
No, I'm not.
I was going to say, pretty is not 100. We need to know 100.
Well, it's either that or I hire a surveyor to spend, you know, another $600, $700, $800 to say yes or no, that isn't your tree. So. I've went out there. I've looked for property pins. I can't find anything. So.
You said it's behind the garage?
It's behind the garage.
Can you show me where the alley right away is then? Because this.
If you go to the GIS.
Oh. And why don't I just do that? That would make more sense.
Yeah, that's a nice website.
That's where I was headed.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's one.
It's right here, because there's that dead end
alley.
Yep.
Why would we not vacate that?
I don't know.
Is there something there that we needed, or
no?
I don't understand why that's
probably not.
That's why I don't understand why we didn't vacate that. It's not through. It's a.
If you pick up
open the base map and entry. That newest.
The hybrid?
Aerial photo.
There it is.
In 2017, and that should.
Yeah, I don't.
And the other thing I found is there's two lots there, and
they're talking right in here, one of these.
Yeah, sitting right back in there.
Do they still want it?
I think
let them have
right
it
here.
Because unless there's a utility or something there that kept us from doing it, I don't understand why we didn't vacate that.
Right.
Is it to the south or east of that garage?
It is. It's right back here. Because they said when they bought the house, the garage is right on the property line. Why they didn't follow the setbacks, they should have had to join the two lots, all that didn't happen.
It's a separate lot.
Right.
There's a lot of that in town, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
it's on the
this part of the property line, but not that part of the property line. They may not admit
this
that,
property line goes out.
I mean,
there's so much of stuff.
Yes.
Garage.
Yes, I know. I was
facetious. And this property.
I've been approached on this tree from.
Well, Rhonda said she'll pay to remove the tree. So we can vacate it to him and.
Can how long would it take us to look to see if there's any utilities or anything, why we kept it first? And
I don't think there is.
I'd say we vacate it to them.
Or just keep a utility.
A utility easement?
Easement on it and vacate the alley to them.
Yeah.
Just in case we do need anything. Because if we're not using the alley for anything at all, there's no need. It's just one more thing to maintain that we don't need.
Right.
Is it just grass now?
It's their driveway.
It's their driveway.
It's their driveway. Let's just vacate it then. It's not going to hurt any of the other neighbors if we vacate it, is it?
No.
It's not going to block any of the neighbors from getting into their driveways or back
no,
of their houses.
No, theirs is on the other side, it looks like.
Right. Yeah, because the two alleys come in and they don't even hit.
Because
so.
Here's an alley. Here's an alley.
That's an alley of 0 feet. Right there.
Yeah.
Here's one of 16. Yeah, that probably is 10. But
so
that tree is the worst tree because it is splitting. So
how much did you budget this year for tree removal?
It was like 8,000 or 9,000.
It was under. I knew it was under 10. I think it was under 10, yeah.
Yeah.
What about these trees at Westside Park? Are they the park's or are they ours?
They're ours. They're on the right of way. They're on between Galloway and Condit on the north side of Holbrook.
Wonder if they would help us out with those, though.
They got up trees in the park.
Yeah, I saw that.
They're bad. So.
How bad are those? Could they last a little bit longer? Maybe we could go
possibly
at the park and say one big project for them to come in and do.
Yeah.
That's $1,500 right there to knock off.
Right.
Almost puts you
right
back in our budget.
The two on North Gorsy, we can't touch those.
At 313?
Yes.
The ones at the park because the power lines?
No, I already tried that.
Well, I mean, is that why you can't take them down yourself?
They're big.
Oh, okay.
If we were to drop them, there's that house pretty close to the street on the other side, so we'd have to. Take it out safer than probably what we're used to taking a tree out. Um,
305 North 2nd. Those trees are bad. They're huge, huge trees there, so. So we could hold off on the two at the park for now.
I mean, that would help, and then, like I said, get all the park districts and find out next year, next spring, if they want to do a larger project,
yeah.
Include them.
That still doesn't answer the question on the other one, though.
Because we're going to have to budget in stump removal next year anyways, aren't we?
That, we'll probably do that ourselves.
Okay,
we'll
rent one.
Yeah, we'll rent the stump, right? We did that last year, so, yeah, we can handle that. We just rented one for the day. Yep. The trees we have now, it might be a couple days, but you know, that's not an issue.
Yeah, so I guess we could take those out and then budget those two in next year, worst case scenario.
Yeah.
How soon do they want to come in and do this, did they say?
They didn't.
How soon do you think they should be done?
Well, if we do them now, we won't have to back the lease up.
Well, that and you won't have to worry about some ice storm coming this winter and destroying the tree and taking out more.
This fall, I think, is, yeah, I was meaning, do we have 2 weeks the next meeting if we want to get a hold of the alley people and say, you want the lot?
I think the alley people are fine taking down their own tree if we vacate the lot.
Yeah, I would think so.
And just we'll keep an easement, we'll have it written up that we keep an utility easement just in case there's something we don't know that's in there.
Yeah.
That way we don't have to get it later on.
Julie locate, I didn't see anything through there.
Okay,
so.
Perfect. Just do it that way, and then that way it's, everybody's happy. I think they'll, from the comments on Facebook, I think they'll be okay with that.
Okay.
So.
Can I just make a motion then to give Matt a budget of $8,700 to remove trees? Does that work?
$700?
I think so. That's what I was coming up with. About that. I'll second.
What was the number?
$8,700. So $700 over what was budgeted.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
The next, I think that got put in there too, R&R services from Decatur, or from Argenta. They came over and kind of looked at our dump site to kind of give me an idea on coming in with a big tub grinder and just grinding everything up. Looked like a pretty good deal, a lot better alternative than burning. And the way I have this broken down, I have it the 16 hours at the $400 an hour, $6,400, mobilization cost of $400, and then I also have where they would regrind the mulch if we wanted to keep that for residents. I don't think we don't need
all of it.
600 cubic yards or what, 1,000 cubic yards of mulch, but if they reground all of it, they said 5 hours, that's $2,000. Or if they truck it off, it's $1,925. So it's less if they haul everything off.
So they get rid of it then.
And we're done.
There's a lot of junk and old stuff in there anyway.
Like. And that's the thing too. If we do this, I was also going to probably rent a dozer for a week, level that site, and that's between $1,800 and $2,200 depending on the size of dozer I'd get. Kind of push that stuff out, see what other stuff is buried in there, just get everything ground up at the same time, and be done with it. They'll even grind the leaves and take those.
That, depending on the composition level.
Yes.
Which, they saw them, or they thinking they can take them anyway.
Yeah.
That would be a good time to get rid of a lot of the brush and trees around the fence area.
Right. Right.
And clean it up. And,
right. And I kind of want to push this back until Ameren comes in, because we got to take all the big stuff from them. So for the free part, we got to take the big stuff. I'm fine.
Something that can be done in winter time.
Yes.
Even, so.
Yeah, and then they can grind all that big stuff, and we're done. We got a clean site to work with again. We get everything leveled off, and kind of have a blank slate out there again. So then we keep it mowed down. Right now we can't. There's so much junk and trash laying around there. We just can't mow it. There's nothing to maintain. It's just a mess. So. Thoughts on that over the burning? Better?
It'd be something to try, and at least it would give it, let us
and
back
gets
to
us,
a starting point.
Gets us to a manageable spot. Right now it's kind of flowing over the top.
Yeah, right.
And we can get that area cleaned up, make it look nicer,
yeah,
too.
And next spring we can be more cognizant of what we're picking up and actually leaving stuff that doesn't
right
match
right
the
ordinance. I've got a mess still out where we were burning before, and I've got to get that cleaned up. I've had 2 phone calls and haven't
from the owner or the neighbors.
The owner.
Okay.
Just because I didn't know what I was going to do with it yet.
Well, if we do this, can they go out there and pick it up, or do we need to bring it into the dump?
We'll probably just bring it in here and clean up what we had taken out there, and then we're done with it. So they'll still have to deal with the stuff they've got. You know, they had a big mess out there, and we were going to clean that entire site up, and we didn't get to that point. So.
So, to haul it all away, what was your estimate of price? To get rid of all of it, start off clean slate.
I would say around $9,000 total.
$9,000 total to haul it all away.
Yep.
And then you wanted to rent a dozer too.
Yep.
How much was that?
Around.
So 18 or 22?
Yeah. But I can use that out of my equipment rental.
Where's the 9,000 coming from now?
We can get it out of streets and alleys.
And they came and looked, and is that what they're saying is 9,000?
That's kind of what I figured up, just by the numbers they gave me out of
okay
this. So.
So are they saying what? No matter which route we go, it's 16 hours?
He thought it'd be less than that.
Okay.
This was kind of worst case scenario.
Right.
So he said two.
Well, I'd rather budget
more than less.
Right. Exactly.
So what I'm thinking of, if we can shore the number up just a little bit more, put it on the agenda for next meeting, we can figure out where we're pulling it out of. If there's money in the streets
that's
and alleys, that I mean, you're not going to do it tomorrow.
Right.
So we can shore up the number just a little bit.
Right.
We can do what Terrence is going alluding to,
yeah,
not to exceed, say, $10,000 or
right
whatever, or $9,000.
Yeah.
And then make sure we have it in the
yeah
budget for streets and alleys, and we can slide it out.
Yeah.
Because we're overspending on sidewalks just a little bit.
Yeah.
Overspend on tree removal just a hair.
Right.
But
yeah. And there's a little leeway in some of those budgets. We put it in there on purpose.
Right.
So.
It's
and we saved
good idea
a ton on the water project. So, but I
right
would like
right
to really save that for phase three.
Yeah. How this came about. I was going to rent the tub grinder and do this work myself. I called. You rent it for the month. It's $40,000 just to rent the tub grinder. So I don't think we'd have saved any money by doing it ourselves. So
how much does one cost?
A lot.
Probably $500,000.
Say more than $40,000.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, and I also want to look in the future, which I know you're kind of against it, but getting something to mulch it all up with. So when we pick it up, we can mulch it. And and we don't end up with this huge ginormous
or
mess.
Or we do an annual budget of this, and
if this works out well, then
right.
$9,000 isn't bad.
Right.
If you consider the labor and all that stuff.
Is it cheaper to, when you're picking it up, shove it right in the chipper?
No,
I don't know.
Because it would take days to do that. If we're not picking this up by hand.
No, I'm talking about when, in the future, if we have a chipper.
As they're going down the street, they just keep throwing it in.
Getting it, they're throwing it in.
We're not picking this up by hand.
Yeah, they're using the tractor in the dump. And honestly, I don't want to hear a wood chipper every first and third Monday rolling down the road.
Oh, come on. I don't sleep during the day. I know you do.
I will be sleeping.
And if you keep it at a manageable load, they might only have 5 hours that they're here.
Yeah. Well, and we could take bigger things. Right?
Right.
We could take bigger stuff, and we wouldn't have to start. Because right now we're getting everybody where we're limited to size and stuff.
Right.
Where I don't want everybody breaking their backs, but we're picking it up with the tractor.
Right.
As long as we can get in the tractor and get in the dump and get it out to the dump.
Yeah.
Have them come in once a year.
And
they're still wanting on logs at 6 foot. So they're still wanting us to cut all logs to 6 foot anyway. So it's not like we would be taking larger stuff.
But we could take bigger diameter.
Maybe.
Yeah. And like I said, we can see how this works out. It works out great. Great.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work out, then we'll revisit getting on a wood chipper.
And apparently they do a lot for municipalities around the area. So, I mean, this is...
Do they have any clients that you could contact about their services?
Yeah. I mean, they do a bunch of work for the U of I. So, I mean, Champaign County, I think they do. I mean, he named off several. I can't remember off the top of my head now who they were, but I mean, there's a lot in this area that they do. They try and get a rotation from the just hop
so
from
they're
one
in
to the
town.
Other. So, yep. But this is the, and I've looked into it. This is the only company I found in the area that does this type of work. So, that may not be. Case, but this is the only one I've ran across. So,
well, why would we need the dozer opposed to the backhoe? Why can't we flatten it with it?
That's gonna be a lot of pushing.
Yeah,
on that backhoe.
Plus, we've already popped two tires out there.
All right.
Really, yeah, something with tracks probably work a little better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, who knows what's out there?
I wandered around out there a little bit.
I mean, you need the backhoe anyway to dig a little bit, but
right. Yeah, and
that's not what it's
meant
for.
We'll probably have all the stuff out there just to kind of pull some wood out of there, put it over the side, kind of use more digging, pushing.
Give the opportunity to check on fixing any fence that needs fixed and maybe a new gate too out there.
It'd be nice to put a new fence up.
Yeah.
Get rid of all those trees and stuff, just put a new fence. All right,
so next week.
Flushing hydrants earlier this year, we ran across a few hydrants that were having issues. We went back, opened and closed those hydrants a few times, got them where they would close. There's two hydrants we're having lots of issues with. They're not shutting completely. So this winter, there's going to be water in the barrel. The barrel's going to freeze. We're going to have big issues. I had Illinois Meter come down. We're going to rebuild the hydrant down at Elizabeth and Marshall. We shut down valves. And we don't know where the water is coming from. I can't shut down the mains enough to get the hydrant isolated. I don't know where. If you look at the water main map, there's stuff going all over the place in there. The bad thing with a lot of these hydrants, there's no water valve that isolates the hydrant only. So this is something I think we should start looking into. The prices I have in packets from Illinois Meter, the $15,146, that's due, it's called a double line stop. It puts two valves on each side of that hydrant. I don't think we really have to do that. If I can shut down one block, I can do that and save the, you know, $2,100 on that. But that will also add another valve in, one for the hydrant, one to make that one block where we can shut it down completely instead of shutting four, five, six blocks down when we're doing repair. There's so many valves, so few valves out there, we have issues trying to isolate what we're shutting down without shutting down, you know, huge areas. So adding the valves, adding the two new hydrants here, I know it's kind of pricey, but again, it's something we're going to have to do one way or another.
Do it before they freeze and bust.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're really going to have problems. And again, this is something I'd kind of like to do down the road. We flushed every hydrant in town this year. The water quality went way up. Complaints went way down. This is something we need to do.
It's good to actually actuate those valves too, to keep them.
And a lot of the hydrants haven't been maintained like they should have been. They have oil reservoirs in the caps. A lot of them we've opened are dry. A lot of these hydrants are 50, 60 years old. So not that that's super, super old in the life of a hydrant, but when they're not maintained properly, when they're not open and closed regularly, that's worse on them than opening them and closing them. So.
Then a lot of them are still the old double two and a halves, which don't pull the water anymore like the big steamer fittings.
But that's the other thing. The size of the main kind of dictates on the size what you can have there too. So.
You know, there's a few that we could upgrade.
Yeah. Yeah.
It would help.
Again, if I were suggesting, I would go with the 12976 number just because if we put the line stop in, I can shut a block down. I can do a boiler for that block easier than I can for five or six blocks. You know, it's going to save us, you know, a couple thousand dollars by doing that too. So,
I guess the main question is, where's the money?
That's where's do we have this? Do we have the budget in the water budget anywhere?
I think we do. I'll have to look and see.
Okay, so that'll be the next thing.
Table that till next.
Yeah, and we have this is a 30-day quote. When did you get this?
Last week.
Okay, so
it was
18. It was after our last meeting. Okay, so
9/18.
I know we have the money, but I don't want to spend it because I want to save it for that phase three. So.
No.
But again, I also don't want hydrants freezing either.
Yeah,
so.
This is something
that would cause a bigger headache
I know,
than we're going to
yeah,
use
exactly.
right now.
Exactly.
This is something we're going to have to do
yeah.
one way or the other. So.
I mean, so the money's
there. I just
there,
make sure we
got
it moved around and
yeah.
Yeah.
Set up right.
Because we have over 100,000 we saved from that project.
Uh, crack ceiling and deer path. A1 pavement maintenance. They can't get to it this year. They were the low bidder. I called County Asphalt, told them kind of what our budget was on this, so they know we can't go over the 20,000 we had budgeted. So we might have to cut back some on their pricing or some on their linear footage, but I think they were high, they had more linear footage than what the other company did. So there's one area I kind of want to take out anyhow. I think I said it was from
Whitehead
Route 45 on Walnut. So
yeah, it's kind of almost past that.
Right, right. Spending bad money there, I think, on doing that.
Just a note for the future. Where it curves there, just down the street from Bockert's, there's a big patch. That was because there were the storm drain had a hole in it, and it undermined the road right there. So that's going to need to be looked at, just for your information.
Okay.
I don't know how it got patched or fixed, so it might not have been patched or fixed very well.
Yeah.
Questions for Matt? Anything else for us?
It was nice to have the bids and everything to look at beforehand.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you.
The water meters on Freese and Southview. Freese has gotten installed today.
Perfect.
Southview, they're still working on it. We installed the one on Jerry's property back here. We reduced the size of that meter, which saved us a little bit of money there. We did that one yesterday. So I think that pretty much gets all of our big meters out of the way this year. So now we're just kind of working on the residential meters. But hope to have my meter list ready to go a little sooner because we've been waiting, 2 months on the meters for Freese and Southview. So.
I'd still like to look into and entertain changing all the meters out to, what was the one that did the cell service?
There's the one that does the...
The radio.
Radio.
And there was one that did cell. It was like Mac or something. Or
that's, I can't remember the brand of that, but they're out of Shelbyville.
Yeah.
So.
I know they had a dog on their logo or something.
So, yeah, I have
something to look at in the future. So, like now we have, 200 meters that need replaced? So if we went through and replaced 200 meters with the new ones, and then next year replaced 200 meters, next year, and then take us about 3 or 4 years, but we'd have all of them replaced, and we'd have real time on, if someone, they can log into their accounts and they have real time.
Right.
I've talked to a lot of different people that they use weird amounts of water at different times, and they could actually see exactly what their water usage.
Yep.
And since we're replacing them anyway, might as well.
Right.
Do a system.
That's a completely different brand, though. We'd be getting.
Yeah, I know. We would take transition.
Right.
We'd have two readings for a while, or two different systems for a while.
Yeah.
I think it moving forward in technology a little bit.
Yeah. I've had a heck of a time trying to get rid of the Ford dump truck. they don't want to take it in on trade now for the snowplow, so. I don't know if we should just do a sealed bid. One of the other options they had was putting it on eBay.
Specifically eBay with a reserve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
fine. It may not move, but maybe it will.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah. But, again, if we do that, you know, I'd kind of like to get the snowplow ordered, get the spreader on that new truck we bought, that way we're ready for winter. So.
What's that cost?
That plow is like 14,000. The spreader was around 3 plus install. So, but that's, you know, kind of, I'd like to do something, get that out of our hair, kind of get moving forward with the new truck and get it kind of outfitted how we want it, so.
Fortunately, we still fully know that.
Right, right. So I can get, I can firm up that price from Koenig again on that plow and spreader, the install and some other work I would kind of want to have done on that. And then maybe next time we can figure out how we want to do that. I've never sold anything on eBay, so I'm not sure how big of a hassle that is.
Sure, that'll go to you.
Congratulations.
Actually, it's probably summer. We're going to summer to do.
I can help if needed.
Yeah, we got an IT guy.
So. Yeah, IT can
exactly.
Do it probably.
Well, we need a village account, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we can set that up. Yeah. It'll be something that you, Summer, and Brian can do.
Yeah.
So
we don't put one more thing on Brandy's plate.
My former employer had a vehicle that they got a very low trade-in offer for.
Yeah.
They put it on eBay and got at least twice what they were asking for.
Well, they kind of gave me an offer for all the stuff I had, and it was pretty much insulting.
Yeah. You'll be surprised who needs a vehicle.
Yeah, because they didn't have a buyer for the truck yet, so it was one of those things. So.
And that's the company you want to go with for the plow and spreader. There's nobody else that does it.
Not the plow like we have.
Okay.
I really like to keep everything kind of the same with that. So.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. Questions?
Is there going to be any? I know someone asked me if we were going to be doing any training with our snowplow drivers. What kind of?
On the job.
Does okay. IDOT offer anything?
I know somebody has snow rodeos.
I think that's more.
That's more for the experienced.
Right. That's to show how good you are.
Uh-huh.
I've actually been asked that question too a time or two, and I don't know. I've never seen any training. I've never seen anything listed for it. I'm sure there's somewhere out there that they do something.
Yeah.
But
I can look into it and see if there's something out there or not. I'm not sure. I don't know how you can.
I think you have $2,000 in your training budget. You can.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how you train without.
Without snow?
Snow? Yeah.
I know.
Send us to Alaska, I guess.
Oh, there you go. So, might be interesting. Any other questions for Matt? All right. Thank you. All right, Rick.
Well, reference the concert. Concert. We had minimal effect on us. State troopers handling the traffic line for all the traffic there, since that's their right and their practice. So, went pretty well. We didn't have any issues here. Nobody, we had any drunks driving around, things of that sort. So, it looks like that was pretty well. Sheriff's Department asked for our ATVs, so we loaned it to them. Urbana officers were the ones that were riding them. And they really appreciated that because that helped them get around in that big field and so forth.
Oh, and then that one ATV's running a little fast. They adjusted the choke on it that night, and it seemed to help it a little bit.
Okay. We'll check that out.
I can't remember what number it was. Two, maybe? I don't know.
No, it hadn't been one or three. So I think two.
Okay. I don't know. I texted it to you that night. And then the town was dead the next night after the concert.
Yeah.
It was completely dead.
It was very pleasant.
So.
For us, anyway. The only other thing, I'll be going down to Sullivan's Police Department here in the next week or two to look at their in-car camera, body camera, and interview room system. And I did budget some money for some of that stuff. I think it was cut down by about $10,000 or something.
I think you're 20.
I think you had 20. You wanted.
I think
20.
We had 20. I think we have 20 on it.
Yeah, because I think I put for a total of $28,000, and then
okay.
You guys put it
to 20.
$18,000. So what is good about it, it can integrate between in-car cameras, body cameras, and the interview, and we don't have to have different software packages to run each of the separate items, the cameras, body cameras, and thread. It's all on one software package, it integrates, and that is the future that's coming. I foresee the state eventually making it mandatory for body cameras. So I want to get ahead of the thing here and kind of get to know that a little bit better. I've contacted several companies. I found two that I think would be okay. It's just a matter of one of them's watch guards, and I'm going to go to the university eventually once they get theirs going, see how that works. And it's coming about the right time because our in-car cameras that we have now, we're having some issues with. I think it's just because they're getting old. And the techs, I'm not happy with their technician services. We give them a problem, they try to work on it, and then the next thing we know, we don't ever hear.
Is that still patrol witness?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to dump ours too.
Yeah. So it's about that time. If, depending on the budget, I'm hoping to go with the in-car cameras first. We've got a truck that doesn't even have a camera yet. Waiting to see what we were going to do with in-car cameras. So I think that's the best way to go at this point. And I've got the money, I think, for that. We can piecemeal it. We don't have to have it all at one time. And, I don't have any stats for you tonight. September just ended, so I don't have the stuff from MetCAD yet. That's all I've got right now.
Any questions for Rick?
Mm-mm.
Thank you.
Treasurer.
I make a motion to pay the bills as presented.
Second.
Roll call.
Morris.
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yep.
Treelock?
Yes.
All right. Do you have anything budget wise? We have sewer credits, though.
Was Lambert's, is it fixed? Okay. I was going to make sure you didn't say it was fixed. You said they had a hard time finding it.
I have a question about that one. One leak in the art. The village is the ones that went out there and fixed it, right?
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
If it's past the meter, it's theirs.
Yes, theirs. They fixed it.
Because if it's before the meter, it's not going to charge them water.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Well, so the homeowner noticed that their water pressure went down?
No, we sent them leak letters because they've been having huge bills.
They get that
and
massive.
They were trying to find it, couldn't find it.
That massive amount
and
of water.
Yeah, they saw that.
Out.
But see, that would be between the pit and the house, right? Somewhere in between there.
Mm-hmm.
And we left it up to the homeowner to go ahead and fix it.
Yeah, because we were responsible to the pit.
Okay.
So anything out of the pit that goes to their house is their responsibility.
Okay.
Can we bundle these and just approve them as presented? Motion to approve the sewer credits for the two properties as presented.
And a second.
I'll second.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Treelock?
Abstain.
All right. Now, the regular session minutes for September 18th.
I'll make a motion to accept the regular session minutes for September 18th, 2018.
Second that.
Aye. I'll make a motion to approve the executive session minutes for September 18th.
I'll second that.
2018.
Morris?
Abstain.
Perry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
All right. Now, ordinance relating to special event permits. Did you guys have a chance to look at that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Ideas, changes? Thoughts?
I have not been able to look at it, so sorry.
Yeah.
Do you want to look at it real quick? Do you have a copy of it?
Yeah, I've got paper copies.
Perfect. Yeah, click, you have something to say, Terrence.
Thank you.
I always have something.
I know, you too.
I have a file, but I can't find it.
Actually, I already.
Well, then it's a good thing.
You put your 2 cents in.
Well, I let Mark know that I liked it.
I was wondering what the delay was on the.
20 seconds.
Much has everything we discussed, right?
It does, and actually, Mark, the only question I have is, and actually, I guess it's really a question for us as the board as well. Let's say It'll Do or Lou and Denny's or Loose Cobra or any other business mm-hmm. wants to have a special event outside on the property that they own. That falls within the noise ordinance time frame.
Okay.
And they have an alcohol permit, so they are legally allowed to sell alcohol. Do they need a permit?
Do they need a permit? I think there's, to some degree,
so you
interpretation would, by the liquor commissioner, but it's my opinion that the license is issued for their building, and if it has a beer garden attached to it, like your beer garden, for them to go serve out in the parking lot
okay.
would be a variation of their existing license, so they
okay.
would need a special use permit, or a special event permit.
Okay. So with the alcohol portion, yes. If they weren't serving alcohol, then someone could have an event in their own parking lot.
Sure.
That'd just be like without, somebody having a party in their
exactly,
yard.
Without the need for a permit.
That's correct.
And I just want to make sure that.
Yeah, if they kept the alcohol inside the building,
yep.
and then they had some tables with hot dogs outside, and they weren't letting the
general public,
the alcohol oh, out yes. to the table, then I don't think you have an issue. Your question is, well, can I walk out with my beer into the parking lot?
That's probably part of
beer,
it, yes.
Yeah, I bought my beer inside of the yep. building, and now I'm walking out to the parking lot. I would say historically, a liquor commissioner has said that you can't do that. And I think it's kind of a gray area, but my interpretation would be that you can.
And I like that interpretation.
I think yes. they would have to get permission to do that.
Yes. yes.
Because Loose Cobra,
I could take my Sprite and walk out into the parking lot, eat a hot dog, and sit around
right.
outside.
As you can with most other events in tents yeah. and everything. It has to be inside the invisible walls for alcohol.
The problem is Loose Cobra is always in the parking lot.
Right.
So,
the whole purpose of the question was to make sure that we as a board and legally we're saying that with this ordinance, people we're making sure that people have the freedom to have different events without the need for a special permit, so long as it already, so long as what they're wanting to do falls within our already established noise ordinance guidelines or alcohol liquor license guidelines, that this is basically just helping us give our employees the authority to help us.
Yep.
So I just wanted to make sure that that was clear to all of us and anyone listening who might want a special permit in the future.
I did put the blanks in this thing. One is just, what do you want to charge for a special event permit?
I think we got language in here.
I think so too.
Mm-hmm. What were you gonna say?
Nothing. I was gonna say, I thought when we were discussing it a couple weeks ago that if it was like for a fundraiser or something like that, that as long as we see like a dated check or some sort of,
that's right here underneath the fee. It'll be waived.
Underneath for a 501c.
It'll be waived for government.
Oh, okay. Yeah, church. I did see it in there. I just didn't see it at that.
So if you had a for-profit event by a bar, you want to come up with a flat amount for it?
That's, well, I don't want it waived for that. I want the fee to go to that fundraiser.
Ah.
So for government organizations, churches, education, we can waive those. But then for the other ones, if they're doing an event,
which we've pretty much set that on precedent anyway.
Yeah, we've already. That's kind of how we've always done it. We just have the bar owner write the check back to the charity.
And well, when
I think, didn't we talk about though that go ahead and collect the $50 and then bring it to the next meeting and we discuss.
Yeah, we can do that too, and we can vote on it. Then that takes.
I'm not just saying that, Randy, but it just it brings it to us, and we know where the money's going, and it's not just
the last sentence that it says, "and or any charitable event where all profits go to a qualifying 501c charity." That could be where a bar sponsors it to raise money for. Someone who's has a challenge, a personal life challenge, and you would be waiving that fee if you bought into what it was.
I think what we discussed is we wanted to come to the board. Mm-hmm. We'll vote on waiving it or direct it to go back to the charity.
So they still pay the fee. We just hold the check as a retainer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Until the board
so
says what to do.
So for your purposes. I'm just going to cross out everything after the first sentence.
Okay.
Does that sound correct?
Yep.
Unless you guys want to
after educational organization. Fund Day Committee?
And Fund Day Committee. Yeah. After Fund Day Committee. Then mark out the last part of it.
So we waive for Fund Day Committee only? Is that what
you're
saying?
No. Period after Fund Day Committee.
Oh, okay.
So leave all the stuff above Fun Day.
Okay, so we'll just stick an and before Tolona Fun Day Committee.
Okay.
Get rid of all the stuff after Fun Day Committee. Okay. And then what do you want to make for the fee?
$50.
Okay. And then it seems to me that if I'm going to walk in and ask for the special event license or permit, I give you some notice, or do you want me to try to walk in at 4:45 on Friday and say, Brandy,
2 weeks is a great
party starting at 5.
72 hours.
I would say 72
something.
Or 96 hours.
Yeah.
I'd say 72 and then that avoids somebody coming in at.
Because that'd be a Wednesday before a Saturday
Friday,
event.
Yeah. 5:10,
right.
Saying, hey,
or we could change to working days since we're.
Like three working days.
I'd say like three working days.
That would be Wednesday.
Yeah,
they come Wednesday morning.
Okay.
That's much better.
What do you
4:30
think?
What do
you think, Randy?
We're not going to get that many of these, I wouldn't think. They can only do three or six of these.
Six.
And we only have two bars that do these, so we're talking 12 events maybe.
Yeah, three
bars
that do these.
Okay, three bars.
All right. And then if you're back on page 4 up above 8.3060, there's a little sentence that says a special event license, and there's a typo there, and you put a T, not issued. And then on page 5, right after the very last part of it, 8.3.090, we should put I need to put a quotation mark at the end of that because that's what we're amending.
Which one?
If you go on page 5,
yep,
right
underneath
the penalties provision, just put a quotation mark at the very end. If you'll notice the very beginning of this ordinance part, there's a quotation mark right up at the top,
sure,
of the thing, because that's what we're approving. So
on page 4,
yep.
I don't know that this necessarily needs to be in the ordinance, but it does. It should be in how we how we accept these. 8.3.070 application D5. It should no longer be acceptable for someone to just say, yes, I have insurance. They need to prove it. They need to bring you a copy, which shouldn't cost them anything, of their certificate of insurance.
Do we collect those when we do liquor licenses?
Yeah,
so we already have those
stays on
file.
File.
They're already on file.
But it's not just the bars. Anyone that's wanting to do one of these that falls outside, they need, and if, or it's something that they're asking to do on public land, they need to provide their certificate of liability insurance for the day of the event.
That's what it's saying, though, is you need to provide evidence of insurance.
No, it says evidence of insurance, but tell me how many of the special event permits we have received have we ever seen the insurance?
They're usually, because they're on file. With
they're
the
on file.
Yeah,
the
liquor bars
license.
Are on
liquor
file.
License.
We only do two that are not, two residential ones, and then Fun Day has their own insurance policy.
Have
and
you
welcome
seen
to
it?
See it. I've seen it.
Well,
so.
What I'm saying is, so that everyone is treated the same, put it with the permit.
I like the way it's going now, though.
The problem you're going to have are the two that are residential. Are they going to?
They're not going to
have
insurance on their
insurance.
Well, they mean they have insurance on their house, so they're going to have to get their house insurance and bring it and put it on file.
No, you can get 1 day special event insurance.
The riders.
Yes.
Some charge, some don't.
Some exactly. Okay. Some charge, some don't. There are also websites that help you through this if your insurance carrier is extremely expensive.
I think we just
there's liability.
Right, I understand, but
in it,
but that's on them and
that's
not
on,
them. And
yeah,
not.
I think
that
it would fall on the
it falls
themselves
on the property
anyway.
Yeah.
And
now, if they're going to have it on public,
if it's public property, it's different, but if
yeah,
it's a
but we don't have any on public property.
The block parties on the street.
What's everybody's thoughts?
Honestly, I think even their insurance rider was going to stop at the property line.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to cover the street anyway. It's kind of at your own.
But if they're having
what
their
happens
party
if they're
the
having
street.
A party on the street, somebody
okay,
walks
here's the thing.
And
it's a block
breaks
party.
Their
it's
leg.
Not just at one house.
I
it's
know
at
what happens if
houses.
Somebody walks and breaks their leg without a party
six.
There.
That's what I'm saying. Who
kind of the same liability?
We're gonna have a special event permit that's this thick with everybody's rider.
All I'm saying is, it is very beneficial for the municipality, for the special event holder, to have liability insurance that names us as additional insured.
I see what you're saying. My question's always been too, why would they need a special event permit for a residential?
I agree, unless they're blocking off the street.
That,
and that's really all they're asking
for. And there's
for
two of them
right.
where they block off the street.
Light band in their backyard. Yeah. I had to get one when
I had
a light band in my backyard.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's amplified music, but just potluck's not going to be very loud.
Yeah, potlucks we don't care about. It's just blocking
really
the street or live band.
Potluck.
There's only things we care about. The live band's in their yard. They're not blocking the street. You can see where Terrence is going if they're going to block the street.
And put the stage on the street.
Then,
but they're not really doing that. They're
yeah.
just using the street as a street.
Just people are
walking
on it. I don't know what's our legal... How are we held liable for any of that? If we allow them to block the street off.
If it's all on their property, zero chance we can get held liable. If it's on the street, we can be held liable for a really dangerous condition that exists on the street, but I don't think we can be held liable for...
So if Matt left an open hole in the middle of the road without blocking it off, or without fencing it, and then we blocked the road off, then have your block
party. He left a manhole cover off, and people started popping down it in the middle of the party, we've got a problem.
So just don't do that.
Our liability has to do with the safety of the, or the condition of the roadway, public property. Yeah. We're very difficult to be held liable, but we could be in a condition like that. If we're providing security for the event and something bad happens, I'm still really having trouble come up with the way we're liable for that.
All we do is drop off barricades if you remember.
If our security person that we're paying for does something really bad, then we're liable for that.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I would...
I think we still need to kind of weigh it's small town. We need to make this as easy as possible for people.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't disagree, it's just... Our level of liability, I think, is a lot lower than what's being made out to make people jump through all the extra hoops.
Go ahead, speak your piece.
I got nothing to say. I from what I've seen and heard, other people have to deal with every once in a while, how somebody, no matter what, they'll just take everybody to court and say, weed out the big pockets, find the big pockets.
Our pocket's not very big.
I was going to say, you can't get blood out of
but you get what I'm saying. There are a lot of people who have that kind of mentality where they're just going to find the biggest pocket and go for it.
Okay, how about we do this? Who wants their insurance on, who wants it on file before they get their permit? Terrence does.
A special event rider.
A special event rider.
We don't need their homeowner's insurance or anything like that.
So special event rider. Anybody else? Okay. So I just need a motion to pass the...
Make a motion to approve ordinance 2018-0-20 with changes that Mark has made.
Changes as discussed.
Yep.
Yeah. I have a second.
I second.
Roll call.
Morris?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Trudeau?
Yes.
Okay, donation of the Esda truck to the Boy Scouts. Local Boy Scouts, Boy Scout camp.
Which is the same.
The first blank is the description of the truck. Yep.
Did you have
I've actually got it right here, too.
Do you have something to discuss on this, Gary?
No. Okay.
Make a motion to make a finding that the GMC 2001 GMC Esda truck is beyond useful life and its surplus property with little to no value, and that the Prairie Lands Boy Scout Council is a supportive and positive development of our youth, including children from Tolono and other communities, and that the village donate the truck to the Prairie Lands Boy Scout Council for use at Camp Drake.
I second that.
Okay. This will be a roll call in a minute.
Morris?
Yes.
Harry?
Yes.
Ping?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Trulock?
Yes.
Does A need to be, can we discuss that out and about, or does it go executive session? I think we should go executive session on that. And trick-or-treat hours. Ideas on trick-or-treat hours.
I'll say on Halloween and what we did in the past. I think that's
what was in the past, 6 to 8?
5 to 7 or 6 to 8?
5 to 7.
It used to be 6 to 8, but I kind of think 5.
5?
I know, but it was a
little. What?
I don't know. I don't have kids 6 to 8. It's always been 6 to 8, right?
Okay, let's do 6 to 8 for Halloween hours. Everybody in favor of 6 to 8 for Halloween hours? Okay. Anybody against? Okay. All right. Perfect. We have one special event permit.
It's actually the same
already.
The hours are reduced.
Oh, really?
Yep.
But we don't have to approve that because that can go through the front office now. Yes, sir.
Before we go any further into our meeting, I wanted to ask, so that it gets put on for, if we can table it until next meeting. Okay. We never got done discussing the water, the variance that Brandy had found in the water bills.
Mm-hmm. It was for water only accounts.
Okay. Well, do we need to still discuss that and figure it out, or have we already found a solution?
After the auditors give their report,
okay,
we'll discuss it after that.
Okay.
I think that would make sense, because then they can explain it a little bit better.
Okay.
Because I'm still a little sketchy on it. Yeah. I don't quite understand.
Cool. You ready for executive session?
Any other questions?
Nope.
I thought you had one more. Mm-hmm. Good. Anything else you want to discuss?
That's one thing with Matt. Can we start looking at making the Village Hall ADA compliant?
Yeah, we need to fix our Village Hall, because we've had a couple of people trip again.
I know. I assume Tim can do that too, or is he... I don't know what his capabilities are as far as...
Can we pour a cap on there? Raise it up?
You're... platform and it's all.
Is it needs all redone? Yeah, okay, yeah. Never mind.
It's not.
You guys are the construction people.
Come out here.
Yeah,
because we really need to redo that bad.
It's kind of rickety.
And I'd rather start looking at it now, even if we don't do it for a year or so, but we're getting
maybe the first thing in the spring.
With the way the door sits, when you come up the ramp, you open the door at the ramp,
68.
That's probably not a good.
Plug in
there. Where the ramp's at is fine.
Let's just look at redoing the door, everything, and make it just all compliant.
16.
And maybe that'll be a spring project.
That's what
right after winter.
I'll make it a,
anything else?
I have a quick question, because I missed last. Did we ever decide on Daggy or?
The house.
We're still waiting on the engineering, right?
I called today, and supposedly it's done. It's in draft. I want to get it, see it, I'll send it to Mark, let him review it. If we have anything there, then we'll get that back to them. They'll sign it, we'll be done with it. I wanted to have that in hand before I went in and put it out for bid.
Which makes sense.
The teardown?
Yes.
That's a structural report, so they can say it's structurally unsound, and then they can come collapse it and haul it off, as opposed to abating it.
We're not saying this. Structural and sound, we have somebody come in and tear it down, and then they said, no, we didn't say you could, it was safe to go in there and remove everything prior. So we're just getting our ducks in a row. And
did you get a tentative? Did Browns look at that yet? The water main project's coming along quite quickly. I mean, you know, because it's good. You're by your house, but.
He looked at it early, but I haven't had you look at it again.
Okay.
Just until I get, once I get that, then I can get the bid documents together, get my dates set on there, and
okay.
I can get that
perfect.
Set out. So
we're just waiting on that one report.
Because I had a couple people ask me, actually, which Jared or somebody else can answer it, how come they don't do a controlled burn?
Because asbestos.
The asbestos, and it's also as close to the house as it is.
Well,
it's
that's why I don't know.
It's not a feasible training site in reality. We would just be burning it down for you to burn it down.
Right.
It's not what we need to do. We want a feasible training property that we can go actually go in and use.
That's why I wanted to answer,
and we
so
don't
it
want
could
in
be
there
recorded
anyway.
Because I've had people ask me.
Plus, you know that.
It's not as, you could do that easy 20, 30 years ago. But
yeah, it takes a long time.
Well, I told them it's probably because of the asbestos.
Calls the senators and everything else to get those approved.
Yeah.
So it's been 9 years at least since our last control burn.
Yeah, because I had a few people ask me, and I said, I'm pretty sure it's because of the asbestos, but I will ask.
That plus, I mean, it's too close to other residents. There's trees everywhere. Mm-hmm. We'd end up burning
down. If anybody's got properties, we would love to train in, but they've got to be feasible.
But
there's
I'm cool with it. That way they have the answer on the line. Mm-hmm. I don't.
All right, anything else? Any other questions?
Nope, that's it.
All right, I need a motion to go to executive session.
Make a motion to enter executive session for consideration for the limited purpose of discussing the hiring, performance, compensation, and or employment of one or more village employees
today anyway.
From 5 ILCS 120/C /2C1.
Perfect.
I'll second it.
If I can spit it out.
All right. That's
yes.
Morris?
Yes.
Perry?
Yes.
King?
Yes.
Stuber?
Yes.
Truelove?
Yes.